It's not over, y'all. When history books record whatever this is we're in with Iran and that Israel's in with Iran, it's not going to be called the 12-day war. I can tell you that. Because it's not over. Not by a long shot. You just heard the head of the IAEA come out and say Iran could easily be back in the uranium enrichment business in a few months. That's not based on the lies, by the way, that the mainstream media was telling last week, which we debunked here. They were lying when they said we didn't put the hurt on Fordo. We did. We destroyed it. And they chose to use one piece of intel that was low confidence intel and lie to their audience, CNN, the New York Times, by not telling them that. Okay, so Fordo destroyed. We're in a good place there. The problem is Pickaxe Mountain. Wait, where? Did we bomb that? No, we didn't. And that's a problem. See, do you remember one of the things that caused this raid with the bombers was that we, and you may not because it was kind of obscure, in the weeks before Trump did it, the IAEA came out with a report that not only had Iran violated every single nuclear agreement they've ever had, they were enriching uranium at secret sites that they would not let the IAEA inspect. So they came out with that, and that was kind of like the cherry on top. And Trump decided to blow the whole thing sky high. And he did. With three of their facilities. The one everybody's paying attention to is Fordo. That's the one we had to drop the bunker busters on. We didn't get Pickaxe. It's an ultra secure tunnel complex far deeper than Fordo. And a perfect place for the missing uranium. This is UK Telegraph. When the director general of the International Atomic Energy Agency asked Iran to explain what was happening underneath Pickaxe Mountain, the reply was short and sharp, it's none of your business. Rafael Grossi's questions more urgent now after Iran's key enrichment facilities at Fordo and Natanz were targeted by American B-2 stealth jets armed with 30,000-pound bunker-busting bombs. Notice they mentioned Fordo and Natanz. What are they not mentioning? The third one. And this is the truth, folks. And I wish I could say mission accomplished, we're done. These are really brave jet pilots. And all of that is true. But we're not done. And Trump knows it. I'm going to tell you how I know Trump knows in a minute. You got to read between the tea leaves. Well, the U.S. skipped bunker busters in the other site that most people haven't heard about. It's Isfahan. Isfahan scares me the most. Always has. Why? Because that's the heart of the Chinese nuclear weapons program. I didn't just misspeak. China runs Iran's nuclear weapons program. Once you understand that, all of this, especially the conflict with Trump, begins to make a lot more sense. When you have China doing the targeting for the Houthis of our naval ships in the Red Sea, that's war. We found that out in April. You throw nuclear fissile material in there? Yeah, you can see the problem. Let me read this to you. The U.S. military didn't bother using its biggest bunker buster bombs on Iran's Isfahan site because they knew it wouldn't work. Nobody's talking about Isfahan. That big fight we got into last week with the mainstream media, again, was lying. It was over Fordo. Nobody's talking about Isfahan. General Kane told Congress that the uranium stash is buried so deep, even MOPs wouldn't scratch the surface. So instead of breaking in, the Pentagon slapped the roof with tomahawks and called it a day. Meanwhile, Fordo and the Natanz got the full B-2 bunker buster treatment. So what is inside Isfahan? Okay, 3,000 scientists work there, many of them not Iranian, but Chinese. And I use the worked past tense. It's obviously been decimated. There were not one, not two, but three Chinese-built reactors in there run by China. Because the little secret is Iran is just a proxy for China. Houthis may be a proxy for Iran, but who is Iran a proxy for? It's a proxy for China. What did Trump say? And he's been dropping these hints. This was either yesterday or Saturday. It was one of the two.
If Iran...
Are you from Iran?
No, I'm not from Iran. I'm from the UK. But if the intelligence reports conclude that Iran can enrich uranium to a level that concerns you, would you consider bombing the country again?
Without question, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Do you see what happened on Friday? Israel asserted its right to kill Khomeini, the Ayatollah, and wipe out the theocracy, and said the only reason they haven't is they did not have an opportunity during the 12-day war. In other words, they couldn't get to it. And when asked, their minister, whose name is Israel, when Minister Israel was asked, hey, you know, can't Trump call you off? I mean, after all, he said the planes turned around when he ordered Israel to turn the planes around. They said, we don't take orders from anybody. In other words, we're going to kill him. They have to. They have no choice at this point. There's no choice. I mean, the Iranian parliament has voted not only to go forward with the enrichment, but to speed it up. China, and you know what is scary? And this is the scary part. Our intel, and they've told us this, we didn't see any signature of nuclear material outside of these facilities, meaning it wasn't moved. Why wasn't it moved? Because it's at the bottom of Isfahan. That's why. And our bunker busters can't get it. So what's the answer? It means you can't kill the king. That's the problem. We've just really tipped over a hornet's nest, which is good. I wanted us to. We needed to. We have to fight this fight. We have no choice. We cannot allow them to have nuclear weapons. We're not done. Trump knows it, and that's why he's saying I'd bomb Iran again. Israel knows it. And at this point, the only way forward may be regime change. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe the Israelis, maybe the Mossad can get to the bottom of that facility. Maybe. But they got to get it because we've pissed off the king. And they're coming for us. And they're coming for Iran. And they made that really clear with the fatwa by the Ayatollah over the weekend. And they've tried to kill Trump before. By the way, we had breaking news again over the weekend that Iran, in another assassination plot that heretofore had not been public, tried to kill Pompeo when he was in Europe. This we can't have this. This isn't going to work out. Pompeo, again, was Trump's Secretary of State and the former head of the CIA. I don't like the guy. But you don't get to kill him if you're Iran. You don't get to kill any of us. That's not how this works. So Iran is our true enemy, and Iran is really China. The program is China's. Iran will do as China says, and China will make sure it's funded. And that's assuming the Democrats don't get back in office. They'll make sure it's funded. Folks, we got to clean this out before Trump goes out of office, because the Democrats are going to put it back on steroids. If we don't win that presidency, we are going to be back in Iran's going to be back in a driver's seat. You know, it was interesting over there, and it made almost no news, which is surprising. When Israel asserted the right to kill the Ayatollah and said that, you know, hey, we'd have done it, but we haven't caught him yet. Did you hear Trump condemn that? No. Did you hear Trump drop any F-bombs on national television over it? No. Did you hear Trump say they couldn't or shouldn't do it? No. Pay attention to that. It ain't over. You know what's happened, actually? This is fascinating. Honestly, I think the 12-day war was paused to get the big, beautiful bill through. But once the big, beautiful bill goes through, mark my words, Katie, bar the door, it's on. This is not over, not by a long shot. No pun intended. Heck yeah. Oh, gosh. Massive, massive win for Donald Trump on Friday. This happened right after I went off the air, and I was sitting here going, oh, I want to get it on the air. And this was in the Birthright Citizenship Executive Order. They did not rule on that, but they did something really surprising. They told the truth. And the ruling was simple. I don't know why the Supreme Court even had to rule on this, but they said the Judiciary Act of 1789 does not grant federal district court judges the ability to do nationwide injunctions. There's about 660 of those judges, and they're spread across 94 districts. And what individual judges had started doing was telling Trump, oh, hey, I don't like that. You can't do that. I'm going to enjoin you for the entire country. You can't do it. Well, they have no ability to do that in the Judiciary Act of 1789, which created the district courts. They're not in the Constitution. So basically, this is the Supreme Court just reading the law and going, no, individual liberal judicial dictators posing as judges cannot just tell Trump he can't do what he wants. It had gotten so bad by last week, so absurd, that Donald Trump sued all 15 Maryland District Court federal judges in one lawsuit. Because instead of ruling on one court case, you got to have a court case for these rulings. In other words, you have to be ruling in a case. they weren't even bothering to have a case anymore. They just said, you know what, this Maryland District Court, you know what, we don't like deportations. We're Democrats. We're running a voter drive, so you can't deport anyone for 48 hours. And there was a bunch of reasons they listed for that. They didn't even have a case. And what this was a trial balloon to see if liberal justices, without a court case, could just order Trump to do stuff. That is not in the Judiciary Act of 1789. It's blatantly unconstitutional. It would create a judicial dictatorship. So that's what it had come to. That's how far the left was going. Well, let's see if maybe we don't even need a court case. Maybe we can just watch what he does on Monday and just tell him he can't do it by Wednesday. No, we won't have a court case. We'll just say we're judges. You have to do what we say. Thank God that the Supreme Court put the kibosh on it because it was getting ridiculous. So here's where it is now. Liberal judicial dictators posing as judges can put an injunction on the president, but it would only count for that district. In other words, 1/94th of the country. That's it. And it would only apply to the people in the lawsuit, not the whole country. Meaning Trump can resume third-party deportations. He can resume doing a lot of the stuff that he was doing, which is fantastic. Now, a lot of you were texting me over the weekend, okay, that now the left's going to move to class action lawsuits to try to stop Trump from doing stuff. And, you know, I welcome them to try. The problem with class action lawsuits is there is a lot of law around them. Like, it's a lot harder to do than some judge just ordering Trump to do something. They'll try to use the excuse of the class action lawsuit to rule and stop Trump from doing stuff, but it's a much harder way forward for the left. But they're going to try. But folks, I want you to understand how much this was tyranny. We're so used to tyranny by the left that we don't even blink. But folks, this is something we had never seen before. Here is Andy McCarthy, former federal prosecutor, explaining that on Fox.
What they're saying is that this practice of nationwide injunctions, which we went almost 200 years of American history without having a single one, involves a court not only making a decision that binds the parties before it, but making a decision for the whole nation under circumstances where the court is the non-political branch that doesn't answer to the people whose lives are affected by these rulings.
This ruling seems like it has the potential to maybe break the chains off his agenda a little bit here.
I think that's right. This decision frees the Trump administration from having to, you know, run at the beck and call of every single district judge in the country, of which there are almost 1,000. And so what's going to happen now is that the Trump administration will have to stop its executive orders only in the courts where those judges decide against them, but still be able to pursue their policies in the rest of the country.
So, look, they can get the class action lawsuits going. It's unwieldy. It's big. It takes a long time. Folks, here's how historic this is, okay? This is how ridiculous this was. Remember, we have 94 federal districts.
Liberal justices, judges have used these injunctions to block virtually all of President Trump's policies. To put this in perspective, there are 94 federal judicial districts. Five of those districts throughout this country held 35 of the nationwide injunctions. Think about that. 94 districts and 35 out of the 40 opinions with nationwide injunctions came from five liberal districts in this country. No longer.
And she's right. This had turned into an imperial dictatorship.
Americans are finally getting what they voted for. No longer will we have rogue judges striking down President Trump's policies across the entire nation. No longer. Today, in the 6-3 opinion, Justice Barrett correctly holds that the district court lacks authority to enter nationwide or universal injunctions.
Pam Bondi goes on to call them emperors, because they were. They were acting as emperors. They were just going to see, would we let them do it? Congress was going to let him do it. John Thune, he wasn't going to stop it. You know what's amazing, by the way? Did you see what the Democrats just did in the Senate? They didn't lose a single vote. Democrat leader, he's the minority leader of the Senate, Chuck Schumer, said, hey, you know what? We're gonna deliver all of our votes against Trump's agenda 100%. Nobody is going to break ranks. And nobody did. Why can't we do that? We could do that. But we won't. We can't. We don't. It's the traitors in our midst that give Democrats all the power. It really is. Anyway, here's Senator Ted Cruz on this. Just what they had done to Trump and how we have never seen this in this country before.
The court said that one single district judge does not have the power to issue a nationwide injunction, a so-called universal injunction. This had been the preferred tool of the left to wage lawfare against President Trump. We've seen in the first 5 months of Trump's second term, more nationwide injunctions entered against the president by single district judges than we saw in the entire 20th century. We've seen more in the last 5 months.
In the entire 20th century. Why? Because you would have been embarrassed to do this before. Now they've got the excuse, well, we have to fight Trump Hitler. No judge would do this. Everybody knows you can't do this. They would have looked ridiculous at the wine and cheese parties. And judges, back when they were honest, they didn't want to be overturned. It was embarrassing. If the Supreme Court had to overturn you, it was embarrassing. It meant you didn't do legal stuff very well. Now they don't care. They do not care. All their families are plugged into NGOs, making a payola, and it's just whatever. But we stopped it for now.